Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
And welcome to Whiskey Congress. Got Steve and Jim here. Steve doing the intro just because I wanted to. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Good, good, man. We got a nice sunny day in Cleveland, although it is still a little bit chilly outside.
It is. It's beautiful out, though.
It is. I want to lead with this before we get into it, and I will. I want to apologize to you and our listeners. The last couple weeks, I've been kind of inundated at work.
Yes.
So it's hard for me during the week to kind of track some of the things that are going on, obviously, that we have, you know, our current events. And I feel like it has had a little bit of an impact on the show, so I want to kind of apologize for that, just in general. But I still think that... We've gotten
very good feedback.
Yeah, we've gotten good feedback. There's still plenty to talk about, even though Trump's not in office. It seems like that was fueling much of our conversation for a long time, for the last 4 years. And it's still feeding it to a degree. And so we'll jump into it. But today we don't lead with Trump.
What will we lead with, Steve?
We are actually going to lead with Andrew Cuomo. Andy has himself a little bit of trouble.
He does indeed.
We talked a little bit last week about his issues with, the coronavirus and COVID and the nursing homes. And that was ugly.
And threatening subordinates if they told the truth.
Yeah, that was ugly. And it didn't get better for him over the last week. It got worse. He's had a number of female co-workers, subordinates just come out and accuse him of, outright sexual harassment and inappropriate behavior in the workplace. One of the women did an interview on, I believe it was 60 Minutes. She, worked under him, and she was his assistant. And a key thing about her is that she is a sexual assault survivor.
Right, I forever,
and,
yeah.
And he, I guess, became fixated on it and asked her about it, but then also, said he was lonely and looking for a girlfriend and asking her about her love life and dating and just really inappropriate questions for a work setting and, someone in a position of authority talking to a subordinate. It doesn't look good for him. I think it's important that we acknowledge what he's being accused of. I think it's important that we call him out. Like, I think between COVID, I think between his sort of cover up with the nursing homes and COVID, I think also with everything that we're hearing about him now, I think if he were to resign, I'd be like, all right, cool.
He came out and said he's not going to.
Yeah, I mean, I know he's not going to. Are these impeachable offenses? I mean, ultimately, they could be. Nope. I don't see why not. But I will say one last thing. If he's not impeached, the biggest way to deal with a guy like Andrew Cuomo when he runs for re-election, because he will, he's arrogant and narcissistic enough to think that it's a good idea for him to run for governor again for re-election. And I think you send the answer to him in the voting booth. Right, you just don't vote for him.
Sure.
But listen, if the state decided to impeach him, I wouldn't have any sort of issue with this, and I don't think that that's cancel culture. I think you got a guy who seems like committed a pretty egregious mistake with, or whatever we want to call it, with the nursing homes, and then this behavior, if substantiated, which sounds and feels pretty legit. I'm not saying he needs to go right now, but if you can substantiate anything that anyone is saying here about his behavior towards women and you put the two things together, I don't have an issue with him going.
To me, so there are a couple bunch of things I want to say. One is, this to me is an example where the left and right differ, because left-wing media is not going to bat for Andrew Cuomo. His brother works at what would be considered the biggest left-wing media outlet, and they basically said, you don't get to cover your brother anymore, and we're not putting on kid gloves for him. Whereas when Trump did something like, say, you can grab women by the pussy, Fox was all there saying, well, you know, it's locker room talk, and who hasn't said that, whatever. To me...
I've never said that.
No, you have not. Right. You have not.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's just such a weird thing, like, I don't know anyone. Those words? No one has ever... I've
never heard that expression prior to Trump.
Just grab him by the... Like, who...
Wants
like,
to do... That's...
Right, like, walking down the street, works. I've never had the thought, you know what? She's pretty hot in those leggings. I'm gonna go just grab her by the sniz. Like, that just doesn't happen. Right. So, it's just weird. In and of itself was weird. But anyway, beside the point, no, you're right. And are they going to come after Cuomo as hard as they should? Andrew Cuomo probably, I mean, some outlets will. Others will kind of slow play it a little bit until they have... you know, definitive proof, or what they define as definitive proof, which I'm fine with. But I listen, my whole thing is, you know, at the beginning of the coronavirus thing, I think the beauty of Andrew Cuomo and what he did was he was the governor who was pushing back against the bully.
Sure.
Right. And the bully was Trump. And Andrew Cuomo just said, look, fuck you. Right. Like, this is my state. I'm going to run my state. We got separation of powers. We got separate, you know, like, we're going to do this what we believe is the right way. Now, the problem is, apparently, what he thought was the right way also it involved doing things the wrong way. But his action of pushing back against Trump was needed at the time, right? Because DeWine, our governor, DeWine just wasn't going to say anything, right? DeWine wasn't going to come out and say anything DeWine, our governor... is not the type to ruffle feathers, right? He's just going to do his job. He's going to do it the right way. And there's nothing wrong with what DeWine, I think, handled it the best he could,
sure,
given the situation, right? Think about this. In this state of Ohio, in this city, I know people that are literally afraid to leave their house.
You do?
Like, they don't want to leave their house under any circumstance. They don't want to go outside because they're going to get corona. They're going to die, and everybody's going to die. Their grandmother's going to die. Everybody's going to die, right? So they refuse to leave their house. They want to, and they feel that they have the moral superiority and the moral high ground over you because they won't leave their house. And if they do, they wear two masks and they don't touch anything and they hand sanitize and they only go to the grocery store and they only go to work if they have to, and that's it. Okay, fine, great. But then on the opposite end of the spectrum, you have people who literally would walk down the street and spit in your mouth if you let them, right? Because they feel that, like, any sort of anybody telling them what to do at all apparently is oppression. Right? Like, oh, sure, we think it's a good idea if you wear a, fuck you, you're oppressing me by telling me to wear a mask.
Right.
Right? Like, so you have those two opposite ends of the spectrum. And, you know, the people on the right who think that we shouldn't have to wear masks, they feel like just do nothing. Right? And then you have the people who won't leave their house who feel like the government should just lock everything down and no one should be allowed to move and it should be enforced with military and police rule, which is interesting because those same very people are the same people who want police reform. So it's interesting.
True.
You know, like, when you have those two ends, like, I think DeWine did a good job, is my point, right, of kind of balancing those two and doing the best he could with the shitty situation. But he wasn't going to ruffle feathers in the media by doing so. Andrew Cuomo didn't give a fuck. He just said, listen, Trump, back off. I'm going to do this my way. And we come to find out that his way was just not quite as good as he thought.
What's really – so what he's accused of is inappropriate, fireable, potentially. You know, he didn't physically assault anybody. Or there's no allegations of that, I should say. The fact that he literally was covering up COVID death numbers in nursing homes, that should be what he's really getting burned for. I'm not apologizing for the other shit.
Both.
Right. But there's much more being talked about where he said inappropriate things. Not cool, but he is a single guy.
No, it's
subordinates and it's I get it. I'm not dismissing that. But the fact that that's getting more attention than literally causing the deaths of people. Preventable deaths.
Yes. Covering up preventable deaths.
And doing it for political reasons, that should be...
I don't think that we need to, like, tear it. True. I just think that all of it, like, listen, I've got enough to say, all right, sorry. You know, like, you served the purpose, you were effective to a certain point, and then that shit ran out.
Right.
And that's on you because of your behavior.
And the light got shown on you, and now it's like, okay.
Right. It's a bad look. And for the people saying, see, back in June, you didn't tell me anything. You just didn't like it because he was pushing back against your guy. You didn't know that he was covering up the fucking deaths of people in nursing homes. And, oh, by the way, that doesn't help your argument because your argument is that COVID isn't a big deal. Remember that shit?
Right.
Right? Like, so that none of this helps you at all. It's just that Andrew Cuomo, yes, he's a dick. But that doesn't advance your position at all, other than that's one person who sounded off against Trump, who is, you know, who is going down or should go down or might go down or whatever, right? Like, people, they're just cheering because someone that they don't like is getting dragged.
Right. And he deserves it. Yes. And I've believed for years that Andrew Cuomo has been positioning himself for an eventual presidential run. I think he did the SAFE Act in New York because he thought it would curry favor, even though it's one of the dumbest laws ever written. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you talked last week about how if Democrats would stop sticking their thumb in the eye of every gun owner, it would probably help them nationally. Unfortunately, the types like Andrew Cuomo, yeah, who grew up in New York City, when you grow up in that environment, guns are foreign to you. There's a gun on the wall in our studio. It does not make you uncomfortable, I'm quite certain. I've never had anyone else get upset about it. But if I did this in Manhattan, people would walk and go, oh, dude, what's that there for? I'm like, it's a fucking decoration. That thing was state-of-the-art in 1917. But yeah, but guns freak people. In big cities, guns freak people out, and they don't understand that there is such a thing as responsible, practical gun ownership. And they're kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, your big cities are filled with... You've got all types of people in New right. York and Chicago, L.A., right? You've got the gamut of...
Philly, Boston.
Yes, you've got conservatives and you got progressives. And it seems to be that the loudest voices in those cities tend to be progressive Democrats, right? Sure. For the most part, sure. Right? And there's always exceptions. So,
loudest voices, absolutely.
Right, but the loudest voices typically tend to be progressive Democrats who are anti-gun across the board. So as to what you're saying, yes, for a lot of people... The idea of guns is foreign, and so he passes this act because he knows it'll curry favor with those very loud voices, right, in his state that have a lot of power and influence. But ultimately, I think all of that is kind of pointless because I don't think that now his...
Oh, he's done.
Right.
As a national figure, he's got right, no chance.
He's got no... I mean,
good. There's things I respect him for. There's a lot I don't like about him. So I'm not sad that he's going away.
I'm relatively neutral on him, but I think between what he covered up, what he's being accused of, I'm more than happy to see him go.
And our difference in his... I go to New York to see family all the time and hear, well, King Andrew this, King Andrew that. And I'm like, you've never heard me defend Andrew Cuomo, so yeah. Quit trying to beat me over the head with Andrew Cuomo. I've said the SAFE Act was dumb as shit. I agree. He did kind of look like a rising star early on in the COVID thing, and that star is now flaming out in an amazing fashion. So fuck him is my basic opinion.
Yeah, you know, I when it comes to... sexual harassment and just sort of inappropriate behavior in the workplace, I'm approaching a zero tolerance sort of idea towards it. And the reason is, you know, the more you talk to women and their experiences and what they deal with, what a lot of guys feel is, harmless, innocent, whatever. It's when you listen to a woman who's just like, look, maybe to you it was harmless, but I don't know. And what that woman doesn't know is if she rejects you or she doesn't respond the way you want, what she doesn't know is, are you going to follow her after work into the parking lot late at night? Are you going to corner her?
Or deny her a promotion? Or
right, I mean, like, yeah, deny a promotion. But, I mean, there's the big concern is the... Is this guy a fucking psycho and he's going to physically harm or kill me because he's bigger than me, he's stronger than me, I don't sure. really have much of a way to fight back. And for me, that strikes a chord. I have a daughter, right? And it changes the way I think about things. But the reason why this has changed in my mind, and it's for a weird, very bizarre reason, and I'm just going to explain why. When I was in Chicago, I worked at a bar. But the owner owned a gay bar.
Okay.
Right? The bar Hydrate in Chicago. At the time, was one of the largest gay bars in Chicago. And during Pride Week, he's like, look, I know you work here, but during Pride Week, I need all hands on deck at Hydrate. It's kind of where a lot of the people would go after the parade. I mean, it was packed, like, I'm just a fire hazard left and right. But, I mean, it was a place that, you know, held 300 people and they shoved 500 in there. Right. Like, so I would bartend there and, you know, bartending me, you know, big black me bartending, you know, in this fucking gay club, which I loved it, and the reason why is because I made fucking bank.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah, I mean, like, I just walked out of there flush with cash. I mean, it was, you know, I mean, when you're a broke law student and you walk out of a bar with $700-$800 in your pocket because just, I mean, people stealing money left and right.
Sure.
It's crazy. But it was long and it was hard or whatever, but I would, you know, guys would make passes at me all the time. And it was beyond lack of interest because, like, I'm not gay, right? Like, so it's just like, no offense, but just not my, and
sure.
After a while, listen, man, no, I'm not interested. No, I don't, no, I don't want to see. Nope. Like, right? Like that, you spend your entire day and night doing that. And then you do it for, you know, 2-3 days in a row. After a while, you see how that can get old really quick. Because most guys don't get pursued. But, like, most guys, like, if you get a woman to give you a fucking compliment once in your life, you're fucking lucky. As a guy, in a lot of instances, for the most part, not you specifically, no, I'm just saying in general, right? Like, I mean, if a woman just says, hey, you're a good-looking guy, it's just like, oh, wow, hey, I mean, it'll be, you know, fucking 5 years before I hear anything like that again. But when you hear it over and over again, like, yeah, thank you for the compliment. No, I'm not going home with you. No, I have no interest in seeing that at all. Please don't. Please pull your pants back up. Like, you go through all yeah. these sort of iterations. You're just like, that changes your perspective on what women deal with on a day-to-day basis. And that's extreme. But you've been to bars with me. I don't interact with women at bars at all.
Later.
And that's why. And some women have said, like, you're kind of a dick. And it's like, no, I'm not a dick.
Unless it's someone you're friends with. Like, I'll take Nadine at the patio.
But I got to be... You have a friendship with her. But, like, that's established over time.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Right? And that's, you know, based off of, like, conversation, whatever. And so, but that's building naturally through a friendship. Not, I don't walk into a bar and be like, she's hot, so let me just say random, obscure, obnoxious things to her or whatever. You know?
No, exactly. And that's kind of where I wanted to go is the Cuomo stuff. I do want to give him his day in court, so to speak, because the context could be, you know, you were out to dinner and you were talking about stuff and things came up naturally and now it's getting reported. If that's the case, I might give him a pass. But if you're in the workplace and doing that just because I can, because I've got this power, then you're a douchebag. I have a great story about a dude hitting on me in a bar when I was in grad school. Long story short, it ended with me saying, wow, that guy would not let go. He wouldn't give up. I'm sure there's a lesson in there somewhere. It'll come to me. But I mean, this guy would not relent. And because we're getting into this too far, I don't want to shit. This guy was just brutal. And my lab mates were next to me. And as soon as it was over, I was like, okay, have your fun. Like, what? They had ignored the whole thing.
Mm.
And I was like, you did not hear this guy tell me, let's go to this bar together. No, I can't go there. Yeah, you can. No, you can't. And no, I can't. Yeah, you can. I'm taking that as a yes. Okay. So anyway, yes, I've experienced that in one-on-one brutal fashion a couple of times, but that one stands out. Listen,
until you've had someone flop their cock out at you, I don't want to hear about your...
I know, trust me.
I mean, I've seen it, but I mean, that did happen. This guy was
fucking brutal.
But for some reason, like, rules don't apply during the gay pride parade, by the way.
Little bit of alcohol and freedom going
just
on.
Just like, I'm like literally looking around like, all right, this is cool. Okay,
yeah.
I guess here's... Here's your martini. Right.
So we did
in
so
a plastic cup.
Here's your Cosmo. So we didn't open with Trump, and we're not gonna go exactly Trump next. Actually, kind of are, because one of his appointees was arrested in conjunction with the January 6th insurrection.
Federico Klein.
Charged with multiple felonies.
Yeah.
That's a weird name. I didn't think about that. I mean, Federico Klein.
Klein. Right. Very ethnic, then super white.
Maximilian.
No idea.
Anyway, I'm trying to throw something super Italian on top. Anyway,
Maximilian.
Yes, I don't know. I was trying to come up with something super German.
But no, I get what you're saying. I mean, aside from his name, though. So I think one of the things that we need to answer, right? Federico Klein. He was appointed by Trump. He worked in the State Department, and he gets arrested for his involvement in the January 6th insurrection. So the question is, what did he do? And so I heard that he got arrested. And most of the description was, well, he was there. And I'm like, I feel like if they're arresting him, it was more than him just being there. So when you dig into what actually happened, there's video of Mr. Federico Klein As police were trying to secure the doors to get them closed, Klein had taken a police shield and was using it to block and prop the doors open so more people could get in. And he is on video saying, "We need fresh bodies. We need more bodies." People, you know, yelling at people to rush in past the police to get in. Now, mind you, again, this is a person who was appointed by Trump, worked in the State Department, that is actively participating in overrunning the Capitol Police.
I would say almost leading.
Right. But, you know, like leading and actively participating in, you know, this mob overrunning the Capitol Police, who are trying to protect the Capitol building, our national Capitol building, where congressmen and senators are inside this building trying to certify an election of the president of the United States. And so, yeah, this guy is arrested, and he is being charged with multiple felonies. He is on film. I probably can guess he is going to go to jail.
And good.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, he's...
Also, the whole time he's wearing a Make America Great Again hat.
Of course.
Right. Again, and again, it's a Trump appointee. So the issue that you have are the people saying, oh, well, this was Antifa, and this is people posing
right.
as Trump supporters. Like, you... Like, I mean, then if this guy was posing, then you want to talk about playing the long game.
Yeah, he's good.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, whoa. I mean, that's impressive. And we know that's not what that was. I mean, and it never was that. Were there people from, you know, were there anarchists there who were, again, those people who just looked to cause trouble? Sure.
I'm sure
there were plenty of those people there. But, I mean, we're seeing people who have left a paper trail of... You know, blind, diehard Trump support on social media. They did not do a good job of scrubbing it. You know, they've got friends and family who can vouch for them supporting Trump from, you know, 2015 until now. And, you know, escalating intensity of that support. This guy was in Trump's administration to a degree. You know, I mean, he's way down the food chain, but still... in, and this was the role that he played, right? And so there's no need to relitigate what happened in terms of Trump's involvement and him being impeached. We're beyond it, right? There's nothing that we could do about that. But for these people who we have directly involved, well, you know what? You're going to pay a price, right? And guess what? Trump's not the president. There's no pardon coming from you. You're going to pay the price for your ignorance, right? For promoting this lie, for attacking this country and its values. You are now going to pay a penalty. And there's no olive branch to be had. There's no plea bargain to be made. Like, you're going to burn for this. And that's what needs to happen. It should have happened to Trump, right? There should be some form of accountability. And unfortunately, it's not going to happen for him. But for everyone else, fine. Throw the book at them.
Well, I think a lot of them...
At a high rate of speed.
I think a lot of them came into this thinking, I can do this because my guy is going to remain in power. My guy's got my back. Well, he's not, and he didn't. And
He doesn't, right?
And just real quick on Federico Klein, apparently he's not happy with the conditions in the jail.
He is not happy.
That's a shame.
Yeah, he said there's roaches.
If you can excuse me for a few minutes, I need to go blot my eyes. I'm tearing up here.
Crying a river.
Fuck
off. You know, and the other part about this is that there's a report that people, some of the people that were involved on January 6th who, you know, rushed the Capitol building were in contact with certain people in government, congressmen, senators. And you know, that's a developing story that, you know, need to see kind of like, and what you have is, you know, the FBI has cell phone data that shows that this person who is, you know, who was involved with what happened on January 6th was in some form of communication prior to and during, you know, a senator or a congressman on that day in a certain time. They don't have exactly what was said. They can just say these two numbers were in communication. They communicated this many times in this time frame. But they don't know exactly what was said and what the communication was about. But that's a really, really bad look. And so a lot of people are kind of, they haven't released the names of who, like which congressmen and which senators, but people are starting to take stabs and guesses.
We used to have a Deadpool, right? We used to do the who's going to be the next one to get bounced from the Trump administration.
Yes.
We should have a caught pool. I don't know.
Right. Who's the next one to get arrested next for January 6th?
We should like have a draft board. I'm drafting Tom Cotton First overall pick, I'm going with Tom Cotton.
I think Marjorie Taylor Greene is up there. Lauren Boebert, or Laura Boebert, the chick from Colorado, is up there. I think maybe Kevin McCarthy could be in there. I think Cotton, you're right. Maybe Ted Cruz.
Matt Gaetz.
Matt Gaetz. Jim Jordan, all of them. I think the
we
potential...
We should do this like a mock draft.
Right?
Matt Gaetz, pros and cons. Pros, he's really good. He got great hair. Cons, he's a scumbag.
The rest of his entire existence.
Right.
I think there's a lot of unanswered questions, and I think the longer, the FBI... Because now the pressure is off. I think that... I was putting a lot of pressure on getting as much information as possible and getting it out there because I wanted it to be used in Trump's impeachment. But now that that's passed, I think the pressure is off. So now I think, all right, now, which the focus should have been, right, doing the investigation the right way. And one of the most annoying things about this is that, listen, breaching the doors of the Capitol building is a crime. Don't sit here and tell me you just had people walking in the hallway fast. Right, like you literally have people defend senators, Lindsey Graham, Ted Cruz. It's just like, so their crime was just walking around the state building in a large group? No, bitch, their crime was going through those doors uninvited. Like you can't just walk in. Like if my
door is unlocked, that doesn't mean you get to walk into my house.
Exactly. Right.
This is our house.
Right. You can't walk. Like if they just walked in the Capitol building, like, or if they just, if that same group of people tried to do that at the White House, what would happen? Right. Doesn't matter what president was in there. Right. Those people would have been mowed down and cut in half with machine guns. So the idea that like they didn't do anything wrong is other than aggressively walking around is insane, and it's
we could ignore the stealing and taking shits in people's offices and all that.
Entering
the building without permission is trespassing, is a crime.
That's the first thing that they did wrong.
And then
there's
a lot more.
That was
more.
The first illegal act. And then there are a number of illegal acts that transpired after that fact. And so one of my biggest beefs with this entire situation, and the thing that literally makes me furious, are the fact that people were allowed to just walk out and go home. Right? Like you, how many fucking federal crimes did you just fucking commit? And then you just get to walk out? You just get to go home? Like, all right, well, we'll clean this up. You guys get out of here. Right? Like, you guys
little,
get out of here.
You little scamp.
Right, get out of here, you little scamp. You little nutso. Get out of here. We'll clean this up, you dicks. I mean, like, that's... And the reason why that's problematic is from an investigative standpoint, like, this is a crime scene. This is a crime scene. People have committed crimes. Right, like, so if you've got people who busted in there, who ran in there with weapons, if they had handguns, knives, whatever, right, and then they realize, all right, the scene's too hot, I'm not going to be able to do the thing that I thought I was going to be able to do, I can't get to the senators, I can't get to the congressman to do what I wanted to do, and then they're just able to say, okay, maybe if I just, they're just letting us walk out, all right, I'm all the way out, I'm on the stairs, okay, I'm in the main lot, okay, now I'm back at my hotel, looks like everything is good, all right, let's get out of here. I mean, like, and that's, to me, that's a huge problem, and I don't, this, it's hard to blame, right, because you've got the National Guard who was kind of held back, you've got the Capitol Police who were overrun, you've got Secret Service who, you know what I mean, like, they run in small teams anyway, so there's only so much that they could do. And there was so much done to kind of, that didn't allow for them to coordinate properly, that I understand why it happened. But it's just it's a damn shame. And I there needs to be more investigation into that alone. Why people were just allowed to walk away. If you were in that building, right? If you were in the Capitol building, when all the dust settles, right? After everything was done, I'm sorry, you should have been detained for an extended period of time. That would have made you very uncomfortable. That probably would have cost you your job and more so, because there is no, like, how you walk out of there, right, not in handcuffs, straight into a paddy wagon to get booked and charged for, at minimum, trespassing. Right? I don't care if you're just some little old lady who followed the group in. As soon as you crossed a certain threshold, right, you have now, you, along with the people who kicked the door in, are guilty. Right, you're guilty of that particular crime. Right now, once you got in, the damage you did, well, that goes to the particular individuals. But just the fact that people were able to walk in and walk out, right? And like, I can't even imagine my black ass trying to pull some shit like that.
Well,
right? Let me just go bum rush a security guard. You know, like, throw him down to the ground, kick a door in, break some glass, let me steal some shit, and then just think that I'm going to be able to walk out without having a fucking red dot on my forehead. Like, I can't begin to fathom how that would go down. It wouldn't go down with me walking out willy-nilly, I tell you that.
I would bet you are correct. And the other thing, though, is that you said at the beginning, the involvement of actual members of Congress needs to be investigated. It's a developing story. We don't know exactly yet. The same holds for the Secretary of Defense. You brought this to my attention. That the Secretary of Defense, so, first of all, D.C. was not prepared for what happened. Thank you, Captain Obvious. I get it. So the fact that there weren't paddy wagons to put these people on, that was lack of preparedness. And I don't necessarily blame them, but that was reality.
Well, we have to get into why, though. Why were you not prepared? You knew these people were coming. You knew that they were worked up. And you know, like, you've had an entire year of civil unrest, right, based on so many different things. And the guy in the White House is at the center of it. Now, whether you want to blame him or not, right, is a different conversation. But the bottom line is, when that guy talks, shit happens. And it's not always good.
I get to do a bit of an I told you so here, right? Because right before this, I got to say, I'm very concerned about this.
You were 100% right. You and Benjamin Eves of the Whiskey Den both said, I'm concerned about it. I was just like, poo-poo, it'll be fine. We're America. Right. This shit doesn't happen here. And then the next thing I know, I'm fucking cleaning my rifle thinking I may have to go to D.C. because fucking all hell's about to break loose. What my plan was, I don't know. It was happening in the moment. I was mad. Sorry. Right. But so here we are. This all happens. And you said it. They weren't prepared. Why weren't they prepared? Because it's not like they didn't know it was coming. It's not like you didn't have intel that said that there was a potential for violence. You were worried about it just as a guy who could read and see and hear. Right, like you didn't have any special intel.
No,
you're not in the NSA, the CIA, the FBI. You're not listening to chatter.
Correct.
Right, like you're just going off of what you see and what you know as a civilian, saying like there is the potential for danger here. Right, so the professionals who get paid, who have access to all that shit, they also knew it. And there are we know for a fact that intel was telling everybody in DC, you guys need to brace for the worst. So the question is, why weren't they prepared? There is no damn reason why they shouldn't have been prepared. And then, just this week, we've got the general of the National Guard testifying. And he comes out and he says, look, I you know what? Actually, hold.
Want me to pause?
I do. Okay, so there's testimony on Capitol Hill, and you've got the general of the National Guard who said a couple things that struck me, right? One of the first thing he says is, so normally I would submit my request, right, for
National Guard support.
Yeah. Right. I'm sorry, this was the
DC police probably asking for.
No, this, so. Or yes, you're right. So the head of the DC police says, you know, he's got to submit the request for support. It goes through the Secretary of the Army, but there was a memo that came through that it actually needed to go through the Secretary of the Army, and then it needed to go to the Secretary of Defense, and the Secretary of Defense would approve any request for the National Guard as it related to what was going on in DC. Now, the reason why that's odd is because you have everything that happened back in June. Right, when there were Black Lives Matter protests and so on and so forth, and the National Guard was brought out. But there wasn't the extra layer needed. You didn't need the Secretary of Defense. It just went through the Secretary of the Army, and then it bounced back, and then the National Guard was deployed. So you've got that extra layer that's added.
Right.
Okay.
And we should add the recently appointed Secretary of Defense, because Trump had fired the Secretary of Defense very recently.
He had just fired him. So now you've got this. You've got this extra layer of
bureaucracy
that's added to it. And on top of it, the National Guard, there were certain equipment that they weren't allowed to have. Right? It's just like, if you do go, you can't take anything that, you know, like you can't have batons. You can't have this. You can have shields. You can have protective gear to protect yourself. But beyond that,
no tear gas,
basically no use of force. So all you can do is protect yourself. And there were questions as to why that was, and the general of the National Guard said he didn't know, wasn't sure, and it didn't vibe with what had happened in June. So they asked him, okay, well, what was going on in June? Well, in June, he was in direct communication with the Secretary of the Army the entire time. The Secretary of the Army came down and met with him in the armory of the National Guard, approved for them to use special use of force equipment. Tools, yep. Equipment, things like that. And anytime he wasn't physically with the general from the National Guard, they were in constant communication. Well, on this particular day, that was not the case. He wasn't in communication with the Secretary of Army. Everything had to go through the Secretary of Defense first. And when they get the call that, hey, there's serious distress, that the Capitol Police are being overrun, it took 3 hours to get the approval to move the National Guard. Right? The call comes in at 2 o'clock. Listen, shit's going down. The Capitol Police need support. Can we go? 3 hours later.
A football game later.
Yes. A whole damn football game later. That approval comes. So now the approval comes. So now once the approval comes, you can mobilize. But listen, the mobilization doesn't happen instantaneously.
Sure.
So the question is, why did it take 3 hours? Why weren't they allowed to have, you know, like, so what was the point of not being able to have certain equipment, knowing what was going on? Because you can't say you didn't know. It was being reported all over the news. I was sitting at my job watching it live on television as it happened. People overrun the Capitol. I saw it. You saw it. You were working, and we were both watching it like, Jesus Christ, I can't believe this is happening right now. So if me and you, if our two dumbasses knew what the hell is going on, then I got to believe that the Secretary of Goddamn Defense knew what was going on. So why the fuck did it take 3 hours?
Right. And if he didn't know what's going on, that's even worse.
But we know that that's not what's going on. So there was a reason why it took so long, and there was a reason why there was that extra layer of protection added. So if their defense was, well, because of the complaints we got about June, we decided that we would change it, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. But now you literally have people being attacked. You have people killed. You've got people being overrun. You've got the police being injured, assaulted, battered, also killed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What the hell are you waiting on?
And this is another thing that I think it's developing. We need to find out, okay, is there more to be handled here from a criminal perspective? What led to this in terms of Congress members and the Secretary of Defense? They still have stuff to answer for. And it's not getting as much coverage as it should.
No, it's not. And let me tell you, this is worse than Benghazi. Right, this is worse.
Than Benghazi.
Benghazi was a fucking tragedy.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, like the number of I think we had four or five Americans that died. Not to mention, our ambassador. Right. Awful.
Yeah.
Right. And the issue with Benghazi, one of the biggest issues that people forget is that we weren't supposed to be there to begin with, and so people are just like, well. They called and asked for extra help. Yes, they did. But since we're not supposed to be there, us sending armed people there to help you
into a foreign country
that we're not supposed to be in is a very bad look. So it's complicated to begin with. All right. So Benghazi was a whole different mess. It should have been investigated. It was investigated. It was probably over investigated, but it was. But okay. But now I've got a situation right here on our own foreign soil, and just through the testimony that we have already from the General of the National Guard, from the Capitol Police themselves, we got an issue with the Secretary of Defense at minimum with the way this whole thing went down, and we need a hell of a lot more investigation into it. And a lot of people need to sit in front of Congress and the Senate and explain what the fuck happened. Because that 3 hours... We had how many lives did we lose in that 3 hours?
Five, I think.
Right. I mean, and it's hard to say the timing right, exactly, but either way, like with what's going on, the fact that it's happening right here on our own turf, and we knew that the potential for this was coming, and we still weren't prepared. I need to know more. I need to know more right fucking now.
And to me, that's the whole point. What happened at the embassy in Libya is terrible, and I do not mean to diminish it, but this was our fucking Capitol building.
Yes.
This is the most apples to oranges thing ever. If we sent troops into Libya to light up the square where that was going on, that's probably an act of war. I mean, if we start killing civilians on foreign soil without a you know, approval from that nation to be there. That's a
right. And remember, thing. And
this
people,
is our capital building.
And remember, people are coming out. People were going after Hillary. It's like, well, she said it was X before, and it turned out that it was Y. Right. Like,
I didn't like, really care.
Like, you know what? Like, okay, fine. I mean, even if you do care, all right, that she spoke too early about it. She said it was terrorism. It wasn't terrorism.
It wasn't.
Okay, fine. If you want to hold her feet to the fire over that, that's fine. I'm not even going to argue with you over it. Fine. But if you were that outraged over what happened in fucking Libya over there because she said it was X and it actually ended up being Y, right? In the situation that we shouldn't have been in to begin with, then
where's your outrage?
Where's your outrage now? Right? You're the people. Trump says all the time, we are the party of law and order. That wasn't law and order.
That I think that's a fair
right. That was lawlessness and fucking anarchy. So where are you now? Like, where are all the tributes and memorials to the police officers who died on that day?
Right.
Where are they? Those guys died, and those funerals should have been on TV. I should have been able to watch them from beginning to end on every fucking channel.
There actually was something on CNN covering one of the memorial.
Okay, but listen to what you just said. There was a thing on CNN, I think, that maybe covered. Yeah. Like, I mean, it should have been on every fucking channel. Right, it should have been on Fox News. I should have been able to watch it on OAN and Newsmax and CNN and Headline. It should have been all like for every single one of those police officers.
Yeah, yeah, and we're talking about the deaths, but the injuries. There've been like three or four suicides.
The
since injuries, then.
The suicides, the trauma, like all of it. Right, like I mean, it was incredible. I think for whatever reason, I know why. Right, we've been so desensitized to. Just everything, right? Because we can see so much at any given time, because we're so used to seeing violence and death, and because we're so used to seeing war, because we're so used to seeing all these different types of things, whether it's foreign or domestic or whatever, it's so easy for us to push on to the next thing. And because there's so much information at any given time, it is sensory overload, and you can't dwell on any one thing because it'll drive you insane, right? And if you dwell on any one thing, you go down a rabbit hole and you'll end up sounding and looking like a crazy person, because the more you dig and the more layers you peel back, the crazier it gets, right? And that's with anybody. That's with Obama. Like, if you were to peel back the layers on the Fast and Furious project, right, which I started to do because I thought the name was cool because I love Fast and Furious, you realize how fucked up that entire situation was. And the fact that Eric Holder himself isn't fucking in jail is in itself fucking amazing, right? But you have to move on because shit happens so fast.
The one thing I want to really hit on, though, is all this stuff happened on January 6th and all of the you know, Trump QAnon, I'm going to call them lunatics, but crazy people, said, well, you know, Trump is going to remain in power. And when that didn't happen, the next thing became, well, on March 4th, the day he truly should be inaugurated, then, you know, things are going to happen. And this time, the D.C. police were ready, and everyone was bracing for March 4th. I was keeping an ear to the ground on that. I was very concerned that something was going to happen on that day, but this time, everyone was ready. The folks who believe in this shit said Trump's going to come, you know, come in and be returned to power. There was a really good CNN interview where a guy asked a woman wearing a MAGA hat, what's going to happen if on March 5th nothing has happened? And her reply was, that just means that Trump has another plan. For fuck's sake, people, give it up.
You've been
kicking the can down the road saying, this time we're going to be proven right. Wait till the courts see it. Oh, the courts saw it. No good. Well, the courts are corrupt. Wait till January 6th when Mike Pence is going to save us. That's not going to work. Oh, fine. We'll storm the Capitol and hang Mike Pence. That didn't work. Well, on March 4th, it's going to be different. This is like the doomsday folks who are like, on this day, the world's going to end. Oh, did we say that day? No. People need to fucking wake the fuck up, and it's not going to happen.
So this whole thing with, there's a different inauguration day and all the conspiracy theories, we know what it is, right? It's people who just, they're literally charlatans, right? Just taking advantage of really stupid people, right? Knowing that there are people,
you know,
who are going to...
I don't want to say stupid, Steve. I want to say really brainwashed. I want to say brainwashed.
Okay, but like if you...
Because there's people who are doctors and lawyers. Okay, all right.
We've learned that being a lawyer, right? Like, I mean, I am... First of all,
I am no engineers.
I am walking proof that, you know, you don't have to be super bright to be a lawyer, right? But
when you put it on a tee like that, it's just no fun for me. So I'm gonna let it slide.
Right. I mean, it's just like you know, I'm not exactly a great example of it, but you know, neither is Sidney Powell. So, but I mean, I'm at a point where that whole thing with March 4th, like I know people were using it as a, boom, told you nothing was gonna happen. Like these people, it's not even if something actually did happen on March 4th. Like half the people who pushed that narrative would probably have fucking heart attacks. Because you got most of the people know that this is bullshit, right? They know it, and they're pushing it just because at right now, it's because what we've learned is that there's no repercussions. Say whatever you want.
That's true.
You can say whatever. You can push whatever bullshit you want because there's no repercussions.
100% agree with that.
Right?
But I don't think they know it's bullshit, Steve.
I think most of them do. I think you definitely have a group. You've got a group who diehard believe it, but then there's a group that they want to push back. Again, a lot of this is hate for the other side. So whatever they can do to own the libs, to push back against progressives and Democrats and the Democratic agenda and the gays and the transgenders and the Negroes and the blacks and the Latinos, whatever they can do, so they'll say and throw out anything, and they know it's bullshit and they don't care because ultimately there's no repercussions, because they can say it's free speech, because you're not going to be able to sue, it's really expensive to sue, and if you do, you got to prove like who's going to sue and what are they going to sue for? Right. Like, there's no repercussions. Right, the biggest risk that they run, right, is that if it gets out and someone says, you know what, you're fired, right? That's the biggest thing. But then, you know, you've got people out there. I mean, there are literally people out there who are now in Congress because of this shit. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Boebert from Colorado. You know, those people, they weren't anything useful before, right? But then it's just because they ran their mouth and supported Trump blindly and insanely, and the crazier they got, the more support they got. They literally took Trump's playbook and said, well, I could do it. What if I do it? Oh, look, it's working. Yeah. Oh, it's working even more. Well, now look, I'm in Congress.
Which is why I don't think a lot of the followers believe it's bullshit. I think they are brainwashed. They're cult members.
I mean, I think you're right to a degree. I think there are some that believe that actually believe it, but I think others don't. And I think that they are fine with this because they think that they're disrupting the power structure. They think that they're the ones that are dismantling the status quo.
The global agenda.
And the globalist agenda and all that stuff. And that they're coming in and, yeah, they're crazy. And, yeah, they're talking all this shit. But it takes power away from Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the people who have been, you know, in power for 100 years, right? Now, mind you, that they'll talk about how Joe Biden's been in government forever, and they'll talk about Nancy Pelosi and all these career politicians, but then they have the utmost support for Mitch McConnell. They have the utmost support for, you know, any like a Lindsey Graham or whoever says the thing that they want to say. Well, they have no issue with that person being in government for the same amount of time as a Nancy Pelosi or a Chuck Schumer or whatever. Well, because that person is saying the thing that I want to hear, it's fine. Right, but if that another person of the same stature says something, well, now I've got an issue with the amount of time that they've been in government.
Yep.
Right. Like so, the hypocrisy and the bullshit is right there for everybody to see. But yet, here we are.
We need term limits for the other party.
Exactly. Get rid of the filibuster and let's implement term limits. And you know, all of a sudden, you'll see shit change pretty quickly. But anyway.
Yep.
Moving on. So there's one thing I want to talk about. We didn't talk about last week. Joe Biden bombed Syria.
Yep.
Joe Biden did not get approval from Congress. I have a fucking problem with this. Okay? He, like, what?
No. I go ahead. Go ahead. I have a problem with it, too. I don't, wait. It was recommended by the military. Steve, this has been going on since.
I don't care. At some point.
Since Vietnam?
The authorization for the use of military force needs to come from Congress. And you can't continue to use some shit that happened 20 fucking years ago. All right?
I agree with you, but this has been status quo.
I don't give a damn. I'm calling him out on his bullshit. And Joe Biden, this was bullshit. You've been in office for 45 minutes. We got all this shit going on. No one has given a damn about Syria in fucking 18 months. And here you go letting off. And if you feel that it was necessary, take it to Congress. Give them a reason. Explain what the fuck you're doing. Get the authorization. If they tell you to fuck off, then fuck off. We cannot continue to allow this. And these motherfuckers cannot, like, because now we're getting to a point where our president is a fucking king.
Yeah. Right? I'm not saying.
And it started with Bush, right? It started with George W. Bush, right? And because of 9/11 and because of everything else and because we completely lost our shit, as we should have, because we got attacked on our own soil.
Sure.
And we never took the reins back. And Congress doesn't have the balls to do it because they're too busy, right, trying to stay themselves in power. So they're not going to rock the boat with any of this shit, knowing goddamn well that it is their job to say, listen, if you want to do this, that needs to come through us. And those guys are big enough pussies where if they all just got together, like they're not going to back down, right, as long as you got the numbers.
Let me kiss Obama's ass for a bit. Because Obama, when it was time to respond to Syria, he went to Congress and said, I'm not doing this without your permission. And the right wing was like, whoa, why aren't you doing something? You don't... Right. I mean, so Obama literally shoved the puppy's nose in shit and said, true, if you want me to do this, you need to put your signature on it. Put your name on it. And they all fled.
Yes.
They said, we're not doing that. Okay. And the talking point was, Obama doesn't have the guts to get things done. Now, I agree with you. What Biden did was wrong. Now, what Biden did was also status quo, and status quo has been wrong, I would argue, since Vietnam.
Fair.
Because Vietnam really, Vietnam was quote-unquote a police action because you needed Congress to declare war, agreed, and it was never declared.
I mean, there... Everything since 9/11 has been using
100% true.
That like
the war on terror has been an excuse for.
The reason why I'm not going because they're not using an AUMF from Vietnam. They're using it from 9/11. So that's where. Not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying you're that right. This is where I'm gonna put the brakes.
It's been so blanket open,
just a blanket.
They bombed us. They could say, "Well, Steve and Jim, we're talking bad about the government. So, for the interest of national security, we sent a drone."
Right. And Steve knows a Muslim person that I'm pretty sure might be from Syria or Iran or Iraq, and his babysitter was from Jordan. So it works. It's fine. It's because of COVID.
Right. COVID related.
Right. It's COVID related. So it makes total sense. So I just it's a bullshit move on his part. I had an issue with Trump doing this shit. They fucking hit a drone strike with the Iranian general, right? In Syria. Like, what the fuck are you people doing? Right? I mean, I'm not saying that I feel for the people that were killed, right? If you feel that they were an actual threat and you got proof that they were a threat, then we need to go after them. But at some point, we have to start to do this shit the right way. And if you're not going to do it, you're going to sit there and talk about, well, Trump did all these executive orders, so I'm going to undo all these executive orders. Well, you're sitting here and you're doing the same sort of shit, right? Like, you're talking out of one side of your mouth, but then you're talking out of the other side, sure, doing something different. And I got a fucking problem with it. And again, I'm just saying this. I've had an issue. I've had a lot of issues with Joe Biden over the years, right? And there's nothing that he's said or done. Pushing private industry to get the vaccine figured out. You know, piggybacking what had already happened under Trump, but then really trying to accelerate it. Good. Bombing Syria without fucking congressional approval. Bad. My ability to talk. Bad.
Also bad. All right, we're
getting. I know we're pushing up against.
Fair. We kind of glossed over it last week, and I thought it was.
I don't even think we talked about it last week, and again, that's one of the things. It's my fault. But
it was on the board, and it was like all this is going on, and oh, by the way, we had a military strike in a foreign country, which should have been the number one story, but it's not because of all the other stuff going on. But what's really important is Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss has been canceled by the government. Oh wait, no, he hasn't. This whole thing with Dr. Seuss is a combination of infuriating and maddening. So the people who publish the works of Dr. Seuss have said... Have said, we are no longer going to publish, I believe it's 6 of his books. Yep. I don't know which 6, to be honest with you.
One of them is It Happened on Mulberry Street, or whatever. And then the other 5, I barely even know. Right?
Okay.
I mean, and I was read plenty of Dr. Seuss books as a kid.
I would not bomb them, Sam.
My daughter actually is not a big fan of Dr. Seuss other than Green Eggs and Ham, but she asks really too many questions about how eggs and ham become green, and then like we get stuck on it. So I just literally stopped reading because I got tired of the questions. We never would get to the end because she got stuck on green eggs. So.
I have no problem picturing that happening.
Right. So
knowing your daughter.
So the estate pulls the 6 books, and then Dr. Seuss was associated very closely with Read Across America, you know, promoting reading and things like that. So the estate pulls these books. The people who say it's read a lot month or whatever it is, Agreed. And, yeah, I mean, and they downplayed Dr. Seuss's role with it and said, in general, just read books. Don't care. Doesn't matter if it's Dr. Seuss or whatever. Read if you want to. Preferably don't read these books that picture black people in a really derogatory way or Asian people being fucking, you know, held at gunpoint by random white people, you know, when this book was written around the time of Japanese internment camps. So we're going to pull these books. But you could read.
Pull is not even the right word. We're going to no longer publish. The ones that are out there are out there. No one's calling for a recall. I want to clarify that because people are like, we're being censored. No, you're not. The people who have the right to publish or not publish are saying, we are no longer going to publish these things because
Looks bad. Like, also, like, the book's on your shelf. The book's on your shelf. Right? Right. Read it to your kid all you want. But you're right. Like, so it's not a government censorship thing. It's really more of a self-censor by the people who put the books out. And conservatives in the right wing, and you know whether it's Kevin McCarthy or just pick a Trump supporter, they're all going to the look, no, they're censoring Dr. Seuss. Let me explain to you what that looks like, conservative. When you come to me and you say, oh, see, look what they're doing. They're censoring the books. They're censoring kids' books now. Like, no, what they're doing is they're pulling books that depict black people in a very derogatory way. They're pulling books that depict Asian people in a very derogatory way. So what you're saying to me is, I can't say nigger, I can't say chink, at least let me be able to look at you in this really shitty way in this kid's book, and now you're pulling that. So now how am I supposed to be able to look at you and demean you if I can't call you a nigger and if I can't look at this book, right, that shows you in this shitty way? That's what I hear when you say, oh, they're censoring us. Right, like you can. Dr. Seuss wrote 60 books. You got 54. You still got access to that are still being published. Not to mention that the 6 that they pulled, you can go get out of a fucking library. You can probably still go buy a Target, and you probably still have on your shelf at your mom's house if you walk upstairs out of your basement. Right, like so, you still have access to those books. But for some reason, for them saying we're not going to publish this out there, we're not going to put this in front of little kids anymore, that's censorship.
Right,
right. And so ultimately, what you're telling is, I want a little hint. I want us to keep the racism around, right? And then their rebuttal is, well, you can't erase history. And when you do this, you erase history. Like, look, bitch, let me explain something to you. There's not a single monument. There's not a single statue. There's not a single tribute to Adolf Hitler anywhere in the world, right?
Correct. And nor should there be.
Right? But yet, somehow, we still know what he did.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that erase history argument is such garbage.
Right? It's such fucking garbage, right? Like, some of the work, like, Genghis Khan. There may be a monument to Genghis Khan somewhere. I don't know. I gotta be careful before I say it. But, for the most part, I'm pretty sure that there's not many monuments to Genghis Khan. Yet, somehow, the motherfucker lived, I don't know how many hundreds of years ago, and yet we still know what the motherfucker did, and we do it without trophies, and we do it without kids' books showing him as a really nice guy.
And right. By the way, if you look at his impact on the world, and I don't mean this in a good way, he like changed the carbon footprint of the world. Like, literally. 10% of the world's population died in some way related to his conquests.
Right.
10% of 10%, the world.
That's a whole lot, right?
That's a lot, yeah.
Right? I mean, we didn't have as many people then as we do now, but true. He made it even less. Right? So, somehow we have managed to remember bad people, right? Even though we don't give them tributes. We remember bad things that happened. We remember the way things were without these monuments and tributes and situations like this where we leave it, you know, like we, even a perfect example, Mark Twain.
Right? Sure.
Right? There's some things in the Mark Twain books that, listen, we have to look at and say, by the way, you might not want to say this. Right, you might not want to go through. You might want to do this. And some of those books we don't read in school anymore because if you're a white student sitting next to a black person and you have to read, this was Nigger Tom. Like I'm just throwing it out there.
Nigger Jim, actually.
Or yeah, this is Nigger Jim, and we called him Nigger Jim, and he was our guy. Whatever, that could cause an issue.
Yeah,
and it probably should. And the idea, like, oh well, that's just what's in the book, right? Like we evolve, our language evolves. What we allow it evolve, and as long as we have had words. Like, we have, our language has evolved, right? And people say, oh, well, they're just words. Pause. Words aren't just these innocuous things that don't matter. Words start wars. Words end wars, right? As an attorney, my words in the courtroom could be the difference between an innocent man going to jail or that innocent man walking home and seeing his family. If I use the wrong words, he goes to jail, and that's on me. If I use the right words, he goes home. Right? As a different attorney, my words that I use in contracts, if I use the wrong words, could cost millions of dollars. Sure. Right? If I don't cover my liabilities properly. Words fucking matter. So the idea that it's just words, fuck off. Because someone used the, oh, sticks and stones break my bones, and words will never hurt me. Oh, I got some words that might hurt you.
You know, and
you know, have you ever heard the words, you're fired? Those words hurt.
I've never heard those exact words. I've heard, let's go to HR.
But, sexual harassment. Well, no,
but,
panda.
You know, but let me try to bring South this back Park around reference. To the beginning. Okay. What?
It's a South Park reference.
I'm sure it is.
You haven't seen the sexual harassment, you know, panda episode?
I think
episode?
I have heard about it. I've not seen it.
Jim, we need to get high and just binge South Park for probably about a week to get you caught up.
We got
to
get like a really bad weather week, and then I'm all down with that. But let me wrap this
Man,
back around.
Man, you bundled up just high as shit watching South Park. It's so romantic.
It is kind of date-ish. But to bring this back around to, we started with Andrew Cuomo and inappropriate words. I say it all the time that just because it was accepted in 1950 doesn't mean it's cool today. You know, I've talked about white privilege. I did a video on our Facebook page about white privilege. And I've said, if I was allowed to act like men my age were in 1950, would it be awesome for me? Fuck yeah, it'd be great. If I could say whatever I want, do whatever I want, and have no consequences, that would be awesome. It's fucking wrong. Just because it was okay in 1950, whatever, doesn't mean we should say, well, it was okay then, we should be okay now. I should be able to walk up, slap my secretary on her ass, and say, don't burn the coffee again, toots, and be, you know, treated with impunity.
Well, I mean, and listen, again, it's about culture evolving, right?
Yes.
Because there are men from the 80s and 90s who say, well, look, the 80s and 90s weren't that bad. They weren't as bad as the 50s and the 60s.
Right.
Right. And the people,
and that's true.
And those people, and then there are men in the 50s and 60s who'll say, look, man, it's not as bad as it was in 1896, so we're good, right? No,
right.
Bitch. Right? Because those people can say, like, this shit is constantly evolving, right? And it's only a threat to you, right? If you feel that it is somehow a threat to your power or your authority, right? There's no reason that you not being able to say whatever the fuck you want to women, right, is a threat to you, right? Like, your life isn't any harder because you can't say X, Y, Z. And listen, fellas, some of y'all need to chill, because if women can say whatever they wanted to you, like, you think women are mean now? If they took off all the brakes and all the stops, some of y'all soft bitches would never leave your house, right? Fuck coronavirus. You'd be afraid of any woman walking down the street if they weren't as reserved as they are, right? If tables were physically turned, where a woman could do to you physically what you could do to her, right?
In the 1950s, yeah.
Right. I mean, just now, right? Like, if it was now.
Oh, you mean, okay.
Right, like, if it, like,
women
if,
were stronger than men.
If women were just as strong as men, right, and there was no actual physical difference, like, I guarantee you, men's whole perception on how they engage with women would completely change. Because women hold back because if you say something, you may haul off and just slap the shit out of her and there's not a fucking thing she could do about it. Yeah, police, fine, whatever, but that's after the fact, right? But if it was if you slap me, I'm going to put you in a chokehold and put you to sleep, well, that's a different thing.
If every woman was Ronda Rousey and suddenly you're in an armbar.
Right, right, and all of a sudden, you know what I mean? All of a sudden, you got a thigh wrapped around your neck and you can't breathe and you're about to fade to black. Well, that's a different conversation. Yes. So, anyway.
We're going late, but there's one other thing we need to talk about. Let's because this is so dumb, it needs to get called out. Mm-hmm. So, Arizona is getting rid of the mask mandate.
Yep.
And they're getting
Along
rid of the
with
mask
like
mandate.
13 other states.
Yep. And Arizona's excuse was, we didn't need masks to prevent the spread of AIDS.
Right.
And this passed in the Arizona Senate on complete party lines using that argument. And that is so dumb that I don't even know where to start. Like, if you can't see the difference between an airborne virus that has killed 500,000 people in our country over the last 12 months and a sexually transmitted condition, and when are you masks versus no masks, that is so fucking stupid. And everyone who voted for that based on that should be voted out of office. I agree with what you said in the beginning of the show. No, you shouldn't necessarily be impeached or censured or whatever. But the next time they run for office, they should be able to run on, you voted for this really, really dumb thing for this really, really dumb reason, and you can't represent me anymore. And if I thought there was a chance of that happening, I'd crack open a bottle of champagne right now, but I don't.
You know, so I couldn't believe it, right? Like, I'm listening to this guy say it, And it was Joseph Chaplick. Not to be confused with Chapstick or Chapdick. But Joseph Chaplick is a representative in Arizona.
Or Dicklick is what I'm going
to
be calling
him. And he goes to the, well, they weren't, we didn't make people wear masks with smallpox or polio or HIV and AIDS, right? Like, we didn't, measles, we didn't make people wear masks then. So if we didn't need masks for that, why do we need masks for this? And it goes to what you were just saying. Like, it's different how some of this stuff is transmitted, right? Like, AIDS wasn't transmitted through spittle. Like, you needed, like, it was
blood to blood contact,
right,
basically.
Blood to blood or jizz or whatever it might be. But fine, like, it there was different, you know, different bodily fluids,
yep.
Right? Means of transmission. Same with the rest of those. And yes, smallpox could be transmitted by that. But you know why? Like, one, they didn't realize how smallpox was transmitted,
right,
until later. But one of the things that worked to stop smallpox was you had big buy-in on fucking vaccines.
True.
Right? You had big buy-in on vaccines then. Right, so
at a time when vaccines weren't nearly as sophisticated,
right,
as they
nearly
are now.
Nearly as sophisticated. They didn't go through nearly the trial and error that they went through. And yet, you were still basically able to eliminate the disease. Right? Same thing with fucking polio. Right? Polio is eliminated because we have a vaccine and we use it and we got everybody to buy in. Right? But now you literally have people arguing against the polio vaccine. So there's also that. So we are literally, like, you say that people aren't stupid and whatever, and just what, and I'm just like, listen,
they are stupid.
Right. I mean, if you got people arguing against the polio vaccine, then I'm not 100% sure how we're not, like, I don't know what to call
these are the same people. These are the same people who are thinking that on March 4th, Trump's going to walk out of the White House and say, gotcha.
Yes. You know, I mean, anyway.
Do you want to close this out, or do you want me to?
I'm done with it. But that's the level. That's what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
And the problem is, we're dealing with it at all levels. We're dealing with it in just average guy on the street. We're dealing with it with, like you said, lawyers, doctors. We're dealing with it with people in our state house. We're dealing with in Congress, in our senators, and our former president. And that is a hell of an uphill climb, and that is a hell of a fight, and that worries me because it's not. People aren't. You know, after everything, after all the enamoration with Trump, and things didn't happen the way that they thought it were, they thought these things were going to happen as they were all planned out by God. You thought that, okay, well, once it all the dust settles, people realize that they were, you know, that they were duped.
In a cult, yep.
You know, whatever, and then things will bounce back. They'll go back to normal. Okay, great. But no, that's not what we're seeing. People are digging in. It's getting worse. It's spreading. More and more people are realizing, because there are no consequences for this really ridiculous behavior, that they can ride a wave into Congress and the Senate, and they're doing it, right? I mean, like, not like I don't have a good defense. It's just like, well, if you say that, like, your political career is dead. No, actually, it means that you are a comet flying through the sky. So we're at a point now where I don't know what's coming next.
I'm
nervous. It's bothersome, and I think things will get worse before they get better. I feel they'll get better because at some point it will have to self-correct. I just worry what that self-correction looks like. And I also worry that the people on the other side, the progressives, the lefts, the Democrats, or whatever, I don't know how much they're actually helping. You know, because they're ignoring what kind of got them there, got us here to this point, right? The complete disillusionment with what they want, right? And they're just like, well, fuck it. We're going to shove it down your throat. These people are pushing back against that. Like, this is not a good mix, right? I mean, people think that I'm fucking being dramatic by saying, like, you better be prepared to fight for what you believe in. And I'm just saying, maybe it doesn't happen right away, and maybe it's not something that we need to worry about in the next year or two. But I feel like we're getting to a point, man, where somebody's going to knuckle up. And it's not going to be pretty. I'm not going to say it's the Civil War. It'll be the,
yeah.
I don't know that. I'm not saying that it's going to be that, because I just don't know what's coming, and it could be corrected. But I think the potential for something that bad and that ugly is there. And we've got enough people that are unstable enough to kick it off and put in. Because here's the other problem that you have. There is a silent group of people that exist that we don't want them to wake up. Right? You got a lot of people who are really good at killing people. It was their job. They did it for this country. And they're not saying anything right now. They're not saying anything. They're not doing anything. You know what they're doing? They're doing what they always do. They're just training. Are they in the military right now? No, they're retired. They're quiet dudes in large groups, right, like all over the country, right, and the more I kind of get into gun culture, the more I realize there's more of these men and women than any of us should really be comfortable with, right, in kind of a good and a bad way. And at some point, something's going to pop off, and those guys are going to flip, and they're going to do what they do. But the problem is, it's going to be here. And you're not going to like it when those guys do what they do, right? And I can train all I want. I can't match what those guys do because I don't have the knowledge that they have. So I can be as fit as I want to be and train with my little AR all I want. Those guys will fucking wipe the floor with me instantly and everybody else. You don't want to turn those guys on. And the way we're going with this shit, where you got people rushing state houses in capitals of in Columbus and fucking Michigan, and you got people fucking going down to D.C. and deciding that they're going to do whatever they want to do, and you got all this civil unrest, you get to a certain point, you wake up the wrong group of people. This all these fucking Meal Team 6 guys and everything else, and all these fucking progressive protesters and all these people with their little fucking signs and vagina hats, that's a fight you guys don't want. So you need to figure this shit out. You need to figure it out before you start some shit you can't finish.
I was going
to
say, you're saying this could happen. It did happen on January 6th. I would say the good news is when it was supposed to happen again on March 4th, it didn't, because this time the police were ready and the National Guard was ready. But I'm not going to lie to you. I have concerns that there is yet another potential thing. Now, I watched very little, but enough of the hearings in Congress with the FBI director and other intelligence officials. And these are intelligent people whose opinions and whose careers I respect. But they don't seem to take it as seriously in terms of what's coming next.
They don't.
There's kind of a, okay, we weren't ready on January 6th, here's why.
You know why? Because none of them suffered actual consequence.
Right?
They didn't. Right? It got scary. Right?
It got real scary.
It got scary, and they had, that was scary. But they didn't suffer a consequence. Right? And you know, this is the last thing, and we'll shut it down, because I really have to go, so I'm going to get killed if I don't. But, you know, the reason why I quit drinking is because ultimately, for me, I suffered a consequence that put me at a crossroads.
Right.
And I had to make a choice. So I made the choice. And I made the choice to quit because I didn't want to deal with what would happen next if it got worse. And so for these people who are drinking the Kool-Aid of whatever's going on and it'll all be fine because it doesn't matter, it's not really affecting me and I can use this to help my political career, they haven't suffered that consequence and they haven't seen how ugly it could get right up front. So they haven't had to pay a price yet. They haven't been physically injured because of this stuff. They haven't been killed. They haven't seen someone that they sit next to day in and day out dead on the floor bleeding out. They haven't.
In some cases, they profited.
Right. And so, and I don't want that to happen, but what I'm saying is because these people have not had a consequence, and not even, like, and the problem is that even if they're not reelected, that's not a consequence, because they can still do the circuit where they go to CNN and Fox and OAN and blah, 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 and they can still make money, and they're still in the limelight, and you know, they still are, you know, some of these people are going to red carpet events, they're fucking living a life. So none of them have actually suffered a real consequence yet. And I don't know what the consequence is for these people to wake the fuck up, but I have a feeling we don't want to see what it is. And when they do, if and when they do, that means it's too late. It's too late for them, and it could be too late for our country. And I hate the doom and gloom. I fucking hate it. You know me. I'm a silver lining type of guy. But I'm starting to get to a point where I don't know how much longer that light from that silver lining is going to shine before it gets real dark. And things got to shake out before the sun comes up again.
I share your concerns. All right, you want me to close this up?
Yeah, close this up.
We are at Whiskey Congress on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you for listening. We're done.
Not Parler.